Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with gladness. And we know that our beloved Lisa's phone is already in the blossom of our father Abraham. And now she's in paradise. And I pray that with this knowledge, and I pray that you comfort the Fong's family, and I know that she has already fought the good fight, run the race, and kept the faith, and help us to do the same. And this morning, we come before you this morning, and we ask that you open our eyes, we can see the wonderful thing that's written in the second chapter of Ephesians, and open our ear that we can hear, and more importantly, open our heart. We can hide what we learn within our heart so that we won't sin against you. We want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit so that we be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about the uncircumcision. And I also describe what a true circumcision in God's sight. A true circumcision, first of all, according to Jeremiah the prophet, a true circumcision is circumcision in the ear, so that we can hear the word of the Lord. When we hear and understand, and the Lord can use his word and his spirit to restore our soul, and so that we can start having communication to God. First of all, we ask that God to circumcise our ear, that we can hear. Those people who are willing to hear the word of the Lord is God's sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice." If you can hear Jesus' voice, then you can claim, according to Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord Jesus is my shepherd, and I shall not in want, and I will lack nothing." Brother and sister, make sure you write that down. In Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 9, talk about circumcision in your ear. You can hear, you won't despise God's word. And secondly, circumcision in your heart. When you have circumcision in your heart, that is exactly what Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. God will make a new covenant with you, writing his word not on the tablets of stone, but writing his word on the tablet of your heart. And that heart is not a heart of stone. That heart is a new heart, and he will give you a new spirit. Brother and sister, I want you to know, you don't pick and choose the scripture to memorize. You do your very best to memorize as much as you can so that you won't be led astray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14 is the very beginning how God restores your soul. When you believe in the gospel, that's the gospel of your salvation, and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, Jesus Christ is the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. When you invite Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, then he will start circumcise your heart. But that is not good enough. And later on, in verse 17, chapter 1, all the way to verse 19, Paul prayed for the saints who put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and who love one another. And Paul prayed to the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Having believed in Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit within your heart, that's the guarantee, your inheritance, that's not good enough. You need to pray to Jesus, and you need to pray to God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's 1:17 to 19. This still not good enough. And later on in chapter 2, the Bible say, you need to build yourself up on the solid foundation of the apostle and prophet. You need to build yourself up on the word of God. And once you have the word of God within your heart, that very word is the word of the prophet and word of the apostle. That's chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. That is the word of God. Build yourself on the foundations of the apostle and prophet. That is the foundation of the apostle is the New Testament. Foundation of the prophet is the Old Testament. Make sure you build yourself up on the word of God, both written in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And right beside that, that foundation, that foundation is the rock. According to Psalm 18, verse 1, David say, the Lord my God is the rock. There's no other rock. That is the solid rock. And right beside that rock, you write down Matthew in the Old Testament teaching. Your New Testament teaching is Matthew 16, 16. When Jesus asked the disciple, what do you say that I am? Peter say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Write that down. Knowing that Jesus is the Christ, knowing that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that is the foundation of the apostle teaching. Psalm 18:1, knowing that the Lord is the rock, my God is rock, that is the solid foundation of the Old Testament teaching. And I want you to go to Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock? Circle the rock. That's a solid foundation, except our God. Build yourself up on the foundations of the apostle, which is Matthew 16. Build yourself up on the foundation of the prophet, which is Psalm 18. When you have the word of God inscribed into your heart has been circumcised. You not only have to have a circumcision in your ear that you can hear, you have to have the word of God inscribed into your heart. that you make a new covenant with God. I want you to write that down. This kind of teaching. You write down Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 to 34. When you have the word of God hidden within your heart, inscribed within your heart, you don't need anyone to teach you. From the very young to the very old, they know God's word. They know God's will. Because they have the word of God in their heart. They have the Holy Spirit within their heart. That solid foundation is also the Holy Spirit. For the Bible is clearly stated that by Jesus Christ in Gospel of John chapter 6 verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The word counts for nothing. The very word that I spoke to you, they are life, they are spirit. If you have the word of God inscribed within your heart, if your heart is circumcised by the Holy Spirit, you will understand God's word. You will recognize His voice. And that is what Paul said. Continue to work out your salvation. No one can help you. That is the work. You have to do it by yourself. Build yourself up in the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. With Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That cornerstone is the rock, the solid rock. What is the rock? The rock is knowing Jesus is the Christ, knowing that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Right beside 16:16, you write down, that is God's command, as we call it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. God's command to us is that, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and according to Jesus' command, to love one another. And that is the solid foundation. With this foundation, we can approach God with confidence. You can approach God with two things. One is the Spirit. Second is the Word. That Word is the truth. And that's why Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24 say, we worship God. That is God requires us to do. We worship God in spirit and in truth. If you worship God in spirit and in truth, you are truly circumcised, according to Philippians 3:3. Turn to it. We are truly circumcised in heart. We are truly circumcised in spirit. Why? Because we worship God in the Spirit. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcision. Right beside the circumcision, you write down Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 6, Jeremiah 9. That circumcision is circumcision in the ear. That circumcision is a circumcision in your heart. You also write Jeremiah 4, 6, 9, and 31. Go back to Jeremiah. As a Christian, you do not ignore the foundation of the prophet. Have faith in the Lord, you will be established. Have faith in His prophet, you won't stumble. You will stand firm. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcise your heart. 4:4, Jeremiah chapter 6:10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their heart, their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them, and they find no pleasure in it. We need to be circumcised in our ear that we can hear, so that we honor the word of the Lord. We do not feel his word is offensive to us. We find pleasure in understanding his will and his word. Those people who find pleasure, delight in the word of the Lord will fulfill the desire of your heart. According to Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. Go back, Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 25 to 26. The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, without circumcision in the heart, without circumcision in the ear. Who are they? They are Egyptian, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert in the distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised. Even though you circumcise in your flesh, you are still uncircumcised in God's sight. Why? Write that down. Circumcision in the flesh is only the image of the good things to come. The reality is circumcision in your ear, circumcision in your heart. If you can understand by what you hear, then you will be able to hide what you hear within your heart so that you won't sin against God. For all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Jeremiah chapter 31. The time is coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, circle the word new covenant, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. With the house of Judah. And it will not be like the covenant I make with their forefather. The covenant God make with their forefather is the old covenant. Verse 31 is the new covenant. When I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. That's a new covenant. After that time, declared the Lord, I will put my law in their mind and write it on their heart. Write that down. God will put his word in your mind. God will write his word in your heart. That is circumcision in your heart. And I want you to write that down. That is what Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablet of stone. God's word was written on the tablet of human heart. Write that down. Right beside human heart, Jeremiah 4:4, 6:9, 31. Brother and sister, build yourself up on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. make sure you understand what I'm talking about today. I don't want you to see Jesus said, I have made a new covenant with you. And Jesus say, I don't know you because you are not circumcised in your heart. Make sure you make a new covenant with Jesus Christ. And during my prophesies, predicted that God will write his law in your mind. God will write his law in your heart so that you know him. You clearly know who he is. Don't ever let Jesus say to you, I don't know you. That is really, really bad. Everybody say? What do you say, Moses? Keep going. Jeremiah chapter 31. After that time, after the Old Testament time, in the New Testament time, I will put my law in your mind. I will write it on their heart. I will be their God. If you have God's word in your mind, God's word within your heart, you are truly circumcised in your ear and in your heart, then you can say, God is my God. You write that down. I will be their God. Write down Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Then you can say that. Because my sheep recognize my voice. You heard his voice. You recognize his voice. When he spoke to you, you know that it is the Lord who's speaking to me. Then you can say, the Lord is our God, our fortress, our rock. And God will say, they will be my people, my servant. They are truly circumcised in their ear and in their heart. They will be truly blessed by God. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man teach his brother saying, know the Lord. You don't need to tell him you know the Lord. If you have God's word within your mind, within your heart, you know who God is. You know what he requires of you to do. Because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declare the Lord. How blessed it is to have built yourself on the solid foundation of the apostle and prophet. Go back to Ephesians. Brother and sister, do not take the word 20, the verse 20 in chapter 2 lightly in Ephesians. Build on the foundations of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. That chief cornerstone is the solid rock. Who is God beside the Lord? Who is my rock except my God? Peter is not the rock, according to Catholic preaching. That is wrong preaching. Peter is not the rock. Peter denied Christ three times. He's not a solid rock. He's a stone. Jesus Christ is a solid rock. No other rock. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. And he's the end. And that solid rock can make me perfect. Only he can make me perfect. He who make me perfect is my God, the solid rock. Go back to Psalm 18. That is the foundation of the prophet. You write down Psalm 18, go back to verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Verse 31. For who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? It is God alone who arm me with strength and make my way perfect. You cannot live a holy life without God. God wants you to live a holy life by giving you the Holy Spirit as a deposit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, that's the very beginning. And then you have to pray like Paul praying in 1:17 to 19. Make sure that you ask God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know him better. Don't just know him in the service. Know him better. When you truly know him better, you have a blessed hope. You know the hope that he called you is the glorious hope, because you're going to receive the glorious inheritance, the glorious eternal life, the glorious kingship. And if you truly know him, you know that the inheritance that he gave it to you in the saints is the glorious inheritance. He expects you to bear fruit. The more fruit you bear, the more honor you're going to receive when you see him face to face. According to the teaching, in Moses say, in the book of Numbers, if you have more people, you're going to inherit more land. If you bear more fruit, then you're going to reign in 10 cities. Because God is going to reward you according to the work of your hand. Make sure you don't see God with the empty handed. And if you truly know God, these are the things that you know. You say, wow, Pastor John, how can I do all this with my own strength? No, God did not ask you to do all this in your own strength. God asked you to do all this with the power of the Holy Spirit. How God. And then the third thing God wants you to know, how much strength, how powerful the strength, how mighty is the strength that he exerted in our Lord Jesus Christ to raise him from the dead and then to sit at him, to raise him up, sit at him by his throne. In the same way, that is what is written in 1:19 in Ephesians, God not only blessed Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead, seated in by his throne, and Jesus Christ gave us the same kind of blessing in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, 21. He who hear me, open the door, I will enter into him, I dine with him, he dine with me. That means you can attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. Verse 21, he who is an overcomer, just like I'm an overcomer, I sit in the right hand of my God, the Father, and you will sit at my right hand too. So, brother and sister, that is in the future. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him who overcome, make sure that we are not a loser. When we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, when we make a new covenant with God, we are overcomer, because his word is powerful and his spirit is powerful too. To him who overcome, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, said Jesus, as I have overcome and sat with my Father on his throne. That is the blessing in the future. You write that down. V21. You write down. Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 5. I will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. He mentioned it in chapter 3. He mentioned it in the last chapter. That's the future blessing. In the new heaven, in the new Jerusalem, in the city of the living God. What about present? What kind of blessing he gave it to us? You write that down. Present blessing. Chapter 2, verse 5. God, who is rich in mercy, God make us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ. How God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will do the same thing to you. That's the past tense. Raise us up with Christ. Not, he didn't say, God will raise you up with Christ. He said, God raised us up with Christ. And then he said, seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. That is fulfilled in the life of Peter and Paul already. And it can be fulfilled in you and me. You know, a good pastor like Peter and Paul, whatever they receive, they tell you, don't just look at me that I receive it. You can do the same thing. Okay? How do we do it? Write that down. Step number one. Ephesians 1:13 to 14. Believe in the gospel. Receive Jesus Christ within your heart. Step number two, Ephesians 1:17 to 19. Step number three, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Build yourself up on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. That is what Paul said, work out your salvation. Not just once, not just twice, continue to work out your salvation. Say that one more time. Before, in Ephesians chapter 2, before, remember that, chapter 2, verse 12. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigner to the covenant of the promise. You know nothing about the word of God. Now you know something already. Continue to know more. Don't just say, oh, I know good enough already. You know what? A lot of Christians, they compare himself or herself with sluggards. Oh, I'm better than that guy. Listen to me. Psalm 62, verse 12. The Lord will reward each person according to what you have done. The Lord will not reward you because Joyce is lazy, she's a sluggard, so I'm better than her, then you get a reward. No, I'm sorry. No. God's going to compare your work with his word. His word is flawless. You hear his word, you believe in his word, you do it, you get reward. You don't compare with other people. No, I know that at university, if you study at a lousy university, you can get A+. But if you study in a good university, your A+ is really an A+. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You get A+ in grand material, mean nothing. Even in your faith, mean nothing. Okay? You know, you compare with those people who graduate from MIT and CIT, then you know how much you know, okay? I'm not kidding you, you know? You compare yourself with other Christians. You say, oh, I'm good enough. No, you are not good enough. Brother and sister, listen to me. You don't compare yourself with sluggard, with shiftless people, with lazy people. You compare with yourself with Paul, with Nehemiah, with Jeremiah, with Ezekiel, with all these godly people. Do you understand, David? So if you compare yourself with those people who rely on welfare, the support from the government, oh, you say, I'm very rich. No, you are not rich. You are not rich. You compare what the Lord has in store for you. God seated Jesus Christ on his right hand. God raised him from the dead. And with that same power, if you truly have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know him better, then you know that God not only give that blessing to Jesus, through Jesus, and you will get the same blessing, seated with Jesus. Not only in the future, Revelation 22 verse 5, also right now, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. But how can I get that? That's what Paul said. How can you get that? Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build upon the solid foundation of the apostle and prophet. Everybody say, amen. That is what is written in Ephesians. Rich in blessing. Before the creation of the world, he's chosen you to be holy and blameless. Before all these things, before you were born, before even your forefather were born, I have chosen you to receive spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. You know who said that? Not Peter. It's Paul. And God give the best apostle to the Gentile churches. Should we thank God for that? Should we? He give the best to the Gentile. So that's why. That's why Paul say that when he realized. In Jeremiah chapter 23:23, am I only the God to those who are near to me? Am I not the God, the same God, to those who are far away? You bet. Write that down, Jeremiah 23:23. And Paul read that. He understood it. And the God and the Lord Jesus Christ declare, am I only a God nearby? Am I only the God of the Jews? No, he's also the God far away of the Gentiles. And that's why Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Through Jesus Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I want you to write that down. By one Spirit. It's very important. What does it mean by one Spirit? Listen to me carefully. Circle the word one Spirit. You write down Acts chapter 2. When 122 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ wait in Jerusalem according to the Lord's command, do not leave Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. Pray to God that God going to give you the Holy Spirit and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then you have power to witness for me. And they believe in it. They stay in Jerusalem. In chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. They talk about the mystery of God, the gospel of God. 3,000 people come to know Christ through that one Spirit. Who received the Holy Spirit first? The 120 people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and witnessed for Christ. I want you to write that down. They are the people. Am I the God nearby? Right beside nearby, you write down Acts chapter 2. What about the God who are far away? You write down Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 17 to the church of Corinth, and Acts 19 to the church of Ephesus, that who are far away. Listen to me. When Cornelius' family listened to the sermon preached by Peter, they were so filled with the Holy Spirit. You write that down, that Holy Spirit is one spirit. That same spirit poured unto the apostle in Acts chapter 2. Now the same spirit, the one spirit, poured unto Acts chapter 10. To the Cornelius family, the Gentile family, that who are far away. Does it make sense? That one spirit. That's why Peter said, you know what? We thought we are the apostle. We are King Kong, you know? We received the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, when he preached to the Cornelius family, all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they received the same spirit. Who am I to stop them from baptizing? Right? So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter baptized them. That means they received the same kind of blessing. Is this good stuff, Michael? Is it good? We both have access to our Heavenly Father by one Spirit. We mean the new person. The one who nearby and the one who far away. The one nearby is the believing Jews. The one far away is the believing Gentile. We all have access to the Father through one Spirit. I want you to write that down. Three things that we get access to our Father. Number one is the Holy Spirit. Number two is the Holy Scripture, the Word, Old Testament and New Testament. Number three, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is written in Ephesians. You write that down. Number one, you write down chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. With the blood of our Lord Jesus, you can come near to God. And then verse 18, through Jesus Christ, both the Gentile and the Jews, believing Jews, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we get access to the Father. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we get access to the Father. Finally, through the Word of God. Verse 19, you write down 19 to 22. You write that down. That's the Word of God. Through His Word, we get access to the Father. Consequently, you are no longer foreigner, alien, but fellow citizen with God's people and member of God's household. You're no longer foreigner now. You are fellow citizen. You're no longer alien now. You are God's children. You got to know God's Word. Build yourself up on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. You write that down. That's the Word of God, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And in Jesus Christ, the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. How can we rise to become a holy temple in the Lord if you do not have the Word of God? That's why you need to continue to walk out your salvation. Three things. You have the blood of our Lord Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, the same Spirit that Acts chapter 2, the apostle received. You can receive the same thing too. Chapter 8, even in Samaritan, they listened to the sermon preached by the deacon, Philip. And they received the Holy Spirit when Peter and John laid their hand on them. Remember that? The same Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Paul received the same Holy Spirit. Chapter 10, when Peter preached to the Cornelius family, they all received the same Spirit. Doesn't matter whether you are circumcised in heart or circumcised in the ear, as far as Jewish concern. If you are Gentile, you circumcise in your heart and you circumcise in your ear, you receive the same Holy Spirit. Pastor John, what's the difference between this Holy Spirit and the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14? No difference. The only difference is that one, you hear the gospel, you believe Jesus Christ, God gives you the Holy Spirit. And now you study the scripture, you do it, and you teach other people, God say, I'm going to use your life, I'm going to use your body as the holy temple. When people approach you, just like they attend the holy temple, they hear God's word. They see God's glory. They see God's word. Everybody say, and if we pursue in this direction, I guarantee you, you not only receive salvation, you receive salvation with glory. Because we're no longer the object of God's wrath. We are the object of God's mercy. Prepare in advance for what? For glory. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be a sluggard. And help us to be skilled in your work. To have a keen understanding of your word. Fill us with your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And anoint us with the Holy Spirit so that we have a fresh Holy Spirit, new Holy Spirit. Take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a new heart, and then pour your new Spirit unto us so that our life is just like the holy temple and God dwells in within our life. And when people see us, just like Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, we no longer live by ourselves. The life that we live for Jesus Christ. When people see us, they see Christ live within us. When they hear our word, they hear the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to them. Help us to understand what we hear today and help us to continue to walk out our salvation until we see you face to face. We don't compare our life with bad people, with lazy people. We compare our life with what God requires us to do through the writing of Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. We compare that, then we know whether we are in the dark or in the light. And help us to be able to say that in the light we see light. And help us to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, when we believe in you, you give us a deposit, guarantee our inheritance. And then you want us to continue to work work out our salvation, build our life, and make our body like the holy temple. Let God dwell within our heart through the Holy Spirit. When we witness for you, we can bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to cause people to stumble. Help us to cause people to build up. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.